The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Honey, bedtime.
Okay, Mom.
Are you whispering up there?
Hello, readers, and welcome back to the Midnight Romantics podcast. I'm your host, Kaylin, and today we have kind of a very different sort of episode. So we've talked so far about adaptations, we've talked about tropes, we've talked about book boyfriends, and this week we are getting into something different. We're actually going to be talking about why romance sucks, okay? So it's not always butterflies and rainbows with this genre, okay? It definitely has its issues, and we're going to kind of call them out today, and we're going to chat about them. So I would like to introduce my guest for today's episode, one of my fellow RTA peers, Devin. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. So usually this is the point when I would ask my guest, what's your favorite romance book? But since we're talking about why romance sucks, I'm going to ask you what your least favorite romance book is. What would you say?
Well, the answer has to be It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover.
Okay.
Just anything by Colleen Hoover, to be honest.
So valid. So valid. Okay, yeah. I had a Colleen Hoover phase, which was probably, I think it was like in grade 9 or 10.
Yeah, that's about when it happens.
And
yep.
It was bad. Like, looking back on it, I'm so ashamed. I'm like, I probably read like 6 or 7 books in a span of time.
God.
So I was like deep in the trenches, okay? But luckily I have recovered, okay? I'm a patient, I'm recovered.
We're in recovery, got into a program.
Yes, we're in recovery. I no longer am in that era and I will not read another Colleen Hoover book. So definitely valid answer, for sure. For sure. Okay. So my second question is, there's kind of been this like influx of people starting to read romance books, and I think a lot of it has to do with BookTok, Bookstagram, BookTube, whatever you want to call it. And so how do you think it has influenced reading for people?
Honestly, okay, I have a lot of opinions about BookTok as someone who loves it and hates it at the same
Absolutely.
Time, because like BookTok has just been like both an incredible but also really, really terrible influence on specifically the romance genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's provided like this great accessible community for people to like talk about their books with people who like them, in a place not to be judged, but at the same time it's the place where you will be judged.
Absolutely.
Especially when it comes to romance and like specifically the different genres mm-hmm. of romance books. Like, and when people are like, I like romance books, but they're not reading all the ones that are like 99% smut.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I think that's totally a valid point. And I feel like that kind of leads into kind of like another question I had. It's kind of about, how do you think like people who don't read romance, how do you think that like BookTok has influenced how they perceive people who do read romance?
I think that BookTok has like completely made anyone who doesn't read romance think that the people who read romance books are doing it just because it's trendy
mm-hmm.
or just because of the smut.
Absolutely.
And not because like it's an actually like respectable genre.
Absolutely. There's so much more to it. And I think like before BookTok, we had more books that delved into like emotional connections, and it was less focused on like such a physical aspect, and I feel like that's something I'm really craving within the genre and really want to bring back, because that's like why I started reading it in the first place, you know?
Right. It's all very now very much like cookie cutter.
Absolutely.
You're like the exact same female protagonist
mm-hmm.
and the same like your stereotypical book boyfriend.
Absolutely.
And they're going to like fall into like the exact same like issues, and then
they're going
to kiss and make up.
Exactly. And there's no, like, questioning that romance stories, they are absolutely 100% the same stories being told over and over again, no matter, like, if you're looking at them 20 years ago, if you're looking at them now. Like, the core foundation, it's still a love story, and that's what it's always going to be. But I feel like we've just fallen into this hole, like, we pigeonholed ourselves in this, like, as you were saying, very cookie cutter kind of like plot structure. And I think we really need to break out of that in order to like show people like what the genre really has to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. The next question is, what are some of your biggest pet peeves and cliches you are sick of in romance novels? So this can include like tropes, certain character arcs, certain like relationships or character stories. What do you think? What do you have to say about that?
Oh my God, tropes.
So many.
There's so many that it's like, oh my God, this book is amazing. And then all of a sudden it's like the biggest turnoff. Like,
absolutely.
When they get married by the end of the book and I'm like, you've known each other for 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
We have third act breakups.
Third act breakups are so frustrating as a reader. Like, there's nothing worse than a third act breakup.
You can see it coming and it's like, can we come up with something original that's not miscommunication over the exact same issue that these characters have been dealing with the entire book?
Absolutely. It's like, we know that they're going to get together. And so this like little blip, when you know that evidently they're going to get together, is just so insanely frustrating.
And it does nothing for the character arcs. It's like, oh, absolutely, we're going to break up, and then 5 pages later, oh my God, wait, I love him. He's just misunderstood.
Yes. Oh my God. Oh my God, so annoying. I'm trying to think of some cliches that I think also, I've talked about this before, but like this like insane focus on like physical appearances for both like female characters and male characters in romance books. It's honestly like, it's like you can tell like most romance books are written by like middle-aged women, and honestly it's a little
middle-aged women like acting out all of their like younger self all of their younger fantasies, like
It's like it's a little concerning, honestly, and it's getting a little frustrating, but because like, yes, reading romance especially is escapism, but at the same time it's like I want some semblance of reality, so it's like, oh my God, maybe this could happen to me, or like just like something that grounds the story in something like reality, you know?
And then you just have like the most unrealistic description of a man's appearance using like every single adjective known
literally
to man.
Like abs of granite, but he never works out, I never see him go to the gym, and I'm just like,
why?
Please, why? can we stop with this?
Oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any other cliches that come to mind?
Pregnancy tropes.
Absolutely.
That is like the biggest singular turnoff for me.
I feel like unless the book is like specifically making commentary about like pregnancy or like teenage pregnancy, even, because I feel like teenage pregnancy is like a big one and like happens in YA too. I'm like, unless if it's just like there, like as an afterthought, it's insanely frustrating.
Just like, oh, jokes on you. They're actually pregnant. I remember, I think it was when I read The Spanish Love Deception, I thought that the main character was pregnant at the end, but it was someone else, and I was like annotating and like literally screaming, and my friend read it after me and she was like, why were you upset about that? And I was like, because I thought she was pregnant, but it was a character with a one letter difference in her name.
Yeah. Okay, like, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. Okay.
I was like, that's on me, I misread that, but like.
But also so frustrating. I know, personally, I'm also really sick of the like, touch her and you die thing.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's like so prevalent in a lot of like, especially like romantasy books. I'm just like,
once you get into romantasy, becomes an entirely different genre.
Romantasy is the whole thing. Like, I was literally at Indigo the other day and I was just baffled by how every single romantasy book cover is literally the same.
They're all the
same. Book covers is another thing. Yeah. Actually, let's talk about that. Let's talk about book covers. Romantasy, all the same. But contemporary romance, lot of issues with book covers.
I mean, I just have a whole issue with book covers that have people on the covers in general.
Yes.
So I just take issue with romance as a genre for that.
I agree.
But it's like a complete difference between when you get like the dark mafia romances that are just like this picture of a man covered in sweat and his abs. And I'm like, okay.
An accurate description.
And then you have like the Emily Henrys of the world, which the exact same cover, just in different colors.
In different colors, yes. And I think another huge issue is all of these covers, like a lot of them are marketed for like new adult romance. They all have cartoon characters on the front. And we've talked about this before as well. It's just like, that is marketing, like, towards younger audiences.
Marketing towards younger audiences.
Because if I'm, like, a teenager, or a tween or whatever, and I see, like, cartoon characters on a book, I'm like, oh, that looks, like, fun. Like, maybe I'm looking into getting into, like, the romance genre. Like, you're at, like, a pivotal moment in your life, and you want to start reading romance, and...
And then you're, like, literally thrown into, like, touch her and you die, mafia romance smut every single page.
And you're not, like, this is... Like,
oh.
Yeah. So I think that's also, because, like, and also you don't really get that also from, like, descriptions, like, reading the back covers as well. So I think that's, like, a huge shock. Like, I know for me personally, like, I read the Love Hypothesis, and I wasn't prepared For, like, that was, like, my first, like, adult romance.
And
going
into it. That's the tamest of the Ali Hazelwoods, too.
Absolutely.
Except for, like, Check and Mate, which, like, I mean,
which is technically a YA book. I haven't read that one.
But that's an issue on its own. Mm-hmm. All classifying all of these books as young adult when it's, like, so it's young adult as in, like, 17 to 20 adult.
Exactly, and that's
not
young
13
adult.
13 to 14. Like, I'm not going to talk. I read that book when I was, like, 14. Mm-hmm. But, like,
no, absolutely.
That's not the point.
Yeah, and I'm, like, looking at the cover, I'm like, how was I to know what was in store for me, you know? And so I feel like, yeah, covers definitely, like, I understand you want to be, like, cutesy and, like, this is, like, the trend right now is
right,
those covers.
But,
like, at some point, we gotta break out of that a little bit, you know?
We've gotta distinguish ourselves and do something that's not the exact same cover on every single book, which happens a lot with authors themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just reproducing the same thing. And, like, listen, I love me books that match,
mm-hmm.
especially in the same
yes.
series, but...
Yes.
These are different books.
Yeah. Like, they just got into this, like, whole... Yeah, Emily Henry was a good one
yeah.
because, like, her books definitely do, like,
it's
they are
the same thing.
It is the same cover.
The font is the same font.
Yeah.
It's, like, the exact same drawing of the characters.
Absolutely.
Which, like...
They blend together.
It really, like, represents the lack of diversity in her characters.
Absolutely.
As a whole, it's, like, they're the exact same... Like, the female protagonists are the exact same in every single book. Like, I can't remember
they are.
Who's and who.
No,
it's
that's
the same plot.
That's valid. I think my favorite Emily Henry book, the one I actually liked, was People Meet on Vacation,
yes.
just because that was my first one I read of hers. But after that, all of like I feel like Poppy as a main character is more distinguished
right.
from all her characters after that.
Beatrice, Book Lovers, I was like, those were the same book.
Absolutely the same book, absolutely the same characters.
At least I really liked, I think it was her most recent one, which was Great Big Beautiful Life.
I've listened to like maybe half of it on audiobook, but that one was headed in
a
better direction.
That one was a little
direction.
Bit different, and then Happy mm-hmm. Place was also, but Happy Place was just miscommunication
Happy
up
Place,
to its highest degree.
Happy Place irked me a lot.
I can't give this girl the life that she wants.
Honestly, I think, what was that guy's name? Was it like Wynn or something?
It was
he
Wynn.
He frustrated me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was so boring and bland, like oatmeal. I was just like...
Well, it was like, I couldn't tell you what any of the names are in any of these
literally.
Books. We have January, and I think someone else is
yes.
named April.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
I know January from Beach Read, but
yeah.
but yeah, no, that's so valid. Like, what do you think about, in terms of, like, diversity in romance novels, how do you think, like, that is going and, like, the direction it's heading?
It is incredibly lacking,
mm-hmm.
and I think people are really missing out. Like, you have to actively put an effort
mm-hmm.
to find romance books that are diverse, whether it be characters from the LGBTQ community,
mm-hmm.
characters that are people of color, characters that have various disabilities, and those books are the best ones that I've read.
Absolutely,
because the
100%.
Authors actually care about making distinguishable characters.
100%. And I feel like books with diversity, automatically, they're just more real, you know?
Mm.
Like, they just, like, they're not for gimmicks because they're trying to bring awareness
right.
to people in the LGBTQ community.
It's like, hey, these people
color.
Have romance stories, too.
Exactly, exactly. And I feel like, Book Talk promotes, I feel like, certain ones that
mm-hmm.
become popular, but other ones, they get overshadowed. And I think...
Exactly.
And I think then if the ones on Book Talk, are popular and some people, like... maybe you don't like them, it paints, like, all books that include more diversity in a negative light. And
yeah.
I think that can sometimes be hard to escape.
And that's part of, like, the really bad toxicness of Book Talk, where
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, if you are not reading what's really popular and what everyone else is reading, sucks to be you, you're counted out.
Yeah. And I feel like it also, it like, connecting back to Book Talk, it hides a lot of, like, maybe, like, newer authors, newer releases. And
mm-hmm.
it, like, these really popular ones are overshadowing when we have, like, really great content that no one has discovered. And I know even for me personally, if I see a book and I'm like, I've never heard of that before, I'm less likely to pick it up. And I
yeah.
know that's so bad, and I want to break out of that habit, but it's when I know I've seen something about something and there's hype around it. It's just
it's like... whether the hype is positive or negative, I want to read it.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many books that I've read, specifically romance books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only reason why I read It Ends With Us is because, so why is everyone hating on this?
Yeah.
What is the big deal? And I was like, there's not a big deal.
Exactly. No, 100%. So that was a great serious discussion we just had.
Yes.
I feel like that was amazing. We're going to get into something a little funner, a little more, that's not a word, a little lighter, let's say. And we're going to play some games, okay? So the first game I have is I don't know if you can see this, but I've compiled some quotes from real romance books. And then I turned to my dear friend, ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, we trust.
And I asked ChatGPT to generate me some really cringy, stereotypical lines that would be found in romance books. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a line. I'm going to move my computer here. I'm going to read a line, and I'm going to ask Devin to think to say if she thinks the line is from a real book or if it's from ChatGPT.
The problem is they could all be from real books.
Exactly. So let's see. I have a list here. So, okay. I'm going to read the first one that I have. So it is, smirky mouths make you want to kiss them, to smooth them out and kiss the smirkiness away. Real or ChatGPT?
Oh, I'm really hoping that's ChatGPT.
It's real.
What is that from? Why did we use the word smirkiness?
It is from The Summer I Turned Pretty.
That's from The Summer I Turned Pretty?
Yes.
Stop.
Call back to Summer I Turned Pretty. Shout out. We talk about it on every episode, so I could not leave it out of this one.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I read that and I gawked. I was like, I know
this.
This
is why those books are terrible.
I know this is like technically a YA book, but YA books still deserve good writing, okay? Just because they're younger people doesn't mean their writing needs to match that.
They need to be introduced to good quality writing. This is how we learn.
Yeah. So that honestly took me aback. Took me a minute to process that
one. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So yeah, okay.
And that was written before ChatGPT was a thing.
Yes, absolutely it was. Okay. Moving on to... Don't, he growled, his jaw clenching so hard, I swear I heard a muscle cry for help.
Oh, that has to be real.
That's ChatGPT.
That's ChatGPT.
That is ChatGPT.
You know, I've definitely read that somewhere.
See, so this is also scary.
That's like straight out of ACOTAR. Like, yeah. He growled, his jaw clenched.
Literally,
he picked a piece of lint off his jacket.
This is what the scary thing with AI is, too. It's like... But also, it's not even scary. It's just
it comments a lot on romance as a genre.
It comments a lot.
Where ChatGPT can write something that is 100% straight out of a romance book.
Then that's like really concerning.
What are these publishers letting slide?
Yeah. Like, is this really the direction we're going where we can't even tell if something's written by AI because we're so used to reading cringy, horrible writing? Like,
right? Like,
so concerning. Okay. Let's see. Which one do I want to read now? Let's do... Okay. And in case you are wondering... I am an overeager puppy begging for her to play with me, to always play with me.
I'm sorry, I think my brain just, like, gave out.
Oh, God, this one is something special.
I'm again hoping this is ChatGPT.
It's real. What? I don't know, have you read... This is a YA book, too. It's from a book called The Cheat Sheet.
I've read The Cheat Sheet.
Yes. So,
I read... That's the football... Yes. I, like, take off sports.
Yeah, football
romances,
dance.
Football
yeah.
dance. I read that. That is terrible.
Yeah, so this is the male main character talking about the female main character, and this is a YA book, people.
Oh, which that book should not be considered YA.
It's just like, oh my God.
No. Any sports romance? No, that's not YA. I give up.
Yeah.
I give up.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll do like two more. So this one is, you're like my own personal brand of heroin.
I feel like that's real.
That is real.
Okay, I got one right.
This is Twilight.
Okay, I was like, yeah. No. It's definitely giving something I've read.
And I'll move on to my last one, which is, his eyes were the color of a storm about to ruin my life.
See, that sounds like it's straight out of Fourth Wing.
No, you're so right with that.
I'm like, no, that was definitely said, but is that ChatGPT?
It's ChatGPT. Okay. Yep, that one is ChatGPT. That was a really fun game, and I have another one in store for you, okay? It also, once again, utilizes ChatGPT, okay?
Oh, joy.
So this one is, I have two plots here that I asked ChatGPT, I prompted it to say, generate me two, really stereotypical romance plots. And I have two versions, different storylines of what it came up with. So I'm going to read the first one, and I'm going to give this one to Devin. And so pretty much I'm going to read it, and then we're going to take a moment, and we're going to deliberate and see, like, how we could potentially make this plot better, or these characters better. If we can, to make this readable. And then we'll share with you kind of what we've come up with. So Devin's plot to fix is the title ChatGPT gave this, with a kissing emoji, I might add, the lipstick, is Love in the Latte Line. I'm going to try to read this as, like, cringy as I can, okay?
Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go. Aspiring artist Chloe Summers thought moving to New York would be the start of her dream life, not a caffeine addiction and an unpaid internship. But when she accidentally spills a triple shot caramel macchiato all over Ethan Steele, a brooding billionaire CEO with a tragic past and abs of granite, her world turns upside down. He's cold, she's clumsy, he doesn't do love. She doesn't even do mornings, but when their worlds collide, that would got me. But when their worlds collide, and again, by total coincidence, sparks fly hotter than a steaming cup of espresso. Can Chloe melt his icy heart, or will his dark secret burn them both? What are your thoughts on that, Devin?
That's, I swear, this is a Hallmark movie.
It that actually is.
A Hallmark movie.
I said it during Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That is a Hallmark movie. I bet you it'll be coming out this year.
Yep. So I'm going to read mine now, and then we're going to take a moment to put our ideas in the story blender and see what we come up with. So mine is called, with a dancing emoji, it's called Cowboy Kisses and City Dreams. So here's the synopsis. When fashion influencer Tiffany Blake inherits her late uncle's ranch in dusty Sweetwater, Texas, she only plans to sell it to get back to Wi-Fi. But Luke Walker, the ruggedly handsome cowboy next door, has other ideas and muscles. So many muscles.
We love muscles.
This is what we were talking about. As Tiffany trades her stilettos for spurs and learns to lasso badly, she discovers that life's greatest adventure might just be falling for a man who says, ma'am. Unironically, can a city girl find love under the big country sky, or will she ride off into the sunset with her heart unbridled? So, yeah.
Unbridled is wild.
That is what we are dealing with, okay? So, we're going to put these in the story blender, and we're going to see what we come up with, okay? Stay tuned. All right, so we have returned from our deliberation process, trying to make ChatGPT's garbage
better
in some degree. So Devin's story, as a reminder, was the love in the latte line. Devin, what are some things that you came up with to potentially make this plot a little better?
Well, first of all, we're gonna change the title to just love and lattes.
Okay.
Or lattes and love. I'm okay with either
lattes
way.
Lattes and love. We got some alliteration.
It would definitely
going.
Exist. We're keeping the alliteration.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with this. I'm honestly, Chloe is still going to be a wannabe artist, but when she spills the latte on Ethan, it's just before she's having a meeting at a big internship to meet her opportunity.
Okay.
And guess who's her boss?
Okay.
Ethan!
I love that little connection. I think that makes it better.
And when she thinks that she's absolutely not getting the job, of course he hires her because he's into her.
Yeah.
But to make the brooding CEO billionaire a little bit more complicated, he has a 4-year-old daughter whose mother tragically died in a car accident.
No!
And he hasn't been in a serious relationship since.
Single dad trope.
Single dad.
Oh my god.
Single dad, and she's close to him. And then I have a little third act breakup because we need to, let's face it, it needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just as things seem to be going Chloe's way and the relationship is going great, she has a exhibition in an art gallery. And
whoa.
Who has not only bought her way into the gallery, but also secretly bought all of her art? The CEO, the billionaire, the CEO.
The tension, I can feel it.
And then they just kiss and make up for no apparent reason, and the problems, you know, don't
they
exist.
Made it, they might continue on afterwards. Okay. I definitely want to pick that up, even if I was just like laughing at it, be like,
oh, what is this?
I gotta read it.
A quick
anyways.
Little like 2-hour read.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was stupid. Carrying on.
Yes. Okay. Love. Okay. So for mine was Cowboy Kisses and City Dreams. I did not touch the title of what I...
No, I think that title really...
It needs
it really
to be
gets
fixed.
To it.
So I tried to, like, dig into the characters a bit more to give them more depth. So
beyond his abs?
Yes, beyond the abs and the so many muscles.
So many muscles.
Yeah. So Tiffany is now... So it said she was, like, a fashion mogul. So I said, like, she's a woman in a man's world. So she has had to become tough because that's what her industry calls for. She has no time for distractions because if she takes a moment's break, some man is going to take her spot on the ladder that she's worked hard for. And for Luke, I was saying how he's from, like, a cowboy community, like, very, like, ranch, very, like, ooh, man. I wanted him to be, like, he's struggling to be able to understand and process his emotions, because he's been raised up in a world that's, like, very much, like, you need to suppress your emotions. And so he's, like, he's struggling with processing his emotions, and probably something has happened that's, like, led to his, like, maybe, like, a downward spiral. And so when they meet, Tiffany doesn't think anything at first. She's gonna get in, she's gonna get out, she's gonna get back to her job. But she catches Luke at one of his worst moments, okay?
Ooh.
He's having, like, some sort of breakdown. He's going through it. And she finds herself hanging around, and she gets to know him better, and he shows her the beauty of country life. But together they both work because they're both having issues with processing emotion, and kind of like dealing with how gender expectations has like impacted both of them. So yeah, definitely still not perfect. I don't know how you can bring both of those
how can you
to
make
a
it
palatable
better?
Level, but that is what we have come up with. So this is the end of our episode today. I want to thank Devin. Thank you so much for coming on the
podcast. Of course. Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
We had amazing discussions. And so thank you once again for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. So thank you for tuning in this week. Once again, you've been listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast. As always, bedtime is optional, right? Stay up and finish your last chapter. Okay. Thank you for listening and see you next week.